Welcome back to Innovation on Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and there's an innovative virtual center with more than 30 affiliated researchers. It's called Biosystems Networks and Translational Research, or BioCenter. And Adam Hoppe is the director, and he joins us now from Brookings to talk about this collaborative project. Adam, thanks so much for being with us today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Kara. I'm glad to take this opportunity to talk a little bit about BioCenter with you.
Well, let's start with, tell us what it is.
Okay. Sure thing. Well, BioCenter, as you said, it's a virtual center. It's a multi-institutional center, and it's really designed to accelerate bioscience research and workforce development in the state of South Dakota. Our goal is to create synergy between researchers at our partner institutions across the state. So South Dakota State University, University of South Dakota, South Dakota School of Mines and Technology are really form the backbone or the core players in this endeavor. And we've got many other partner institutions, both academic and private, both state and private institutions that are involved. And we're really working to accelerate research productivity and build capacity. And I think in the end, BioCenter is working to form a backbone for innovation and workforce development in bioscience and biotechnology. So it's a project that's supported by the National Science Foundation, so the EPSCoR Track 1 Award, so investments from the National Science Foundation, and then the state of South Dakota via the South Dakota Research Innovation Center program really supplied the funding that shapes this center, as well as the commitments from the partner institutions, committing faculty lines and time, energy to allow researchers to work together to build new research teams that are expanding the research programs in the state. And specifically, those research programs are operating in the areas of biochemistry, cell biology, bioinformatics, computational sciences. And they really have goals of improving agriculture, crops, animal, and human health. So, and I think BioCenter contributes pretty heavily to what's called the State Science and Technology Plan, and is building in areas of human health, animal health, agriculture, and computational sciences. So
very I'm a
high
scientist.
Level view of it.
Yep. Yeah, so I'm a scientist, and I have an idea and a project I want to work with, and I come to you at BioCenter, and you help link me with like-minded scientists so we can collaborate?
Yeah, so a key part of this is if we look at modern bioscience right now, you look at biotechnology, we can talk a little bit in a little more detail about what some of these things are. Most of these projects take expertise of multiple kinds. They require not just the single discipline, biochemistry or cell biology or computational science, one training in one discipline, but they really require a team effort. Researchers bringing different skill sets into that collaboration to solve a problem that's more complex and bigger than what a single researcher could undertake. So we spend a lot of time working on developing these research teams, trying to build highly competitive research teams that have the right mixture of folks involved, the right kind of resources and instrumentation that's needed to tackle some of these key problems. So that's exactly right. There's a lot of communication that has to happen between the faculty and finding out what the opportunities are and who is out there and what some of the key problems are.
Yeah. Give me a specific example of a project that's happening or a research project that's happening.
Sure thing. So I can give you one key example in sort of the cellular molecular space would be development of therapeutics. So we collaborate with a company, SAB Biotherapeutics in South Dakota, and that collaboration involves researchers at USD and at South Dakota, at SDSU, as well as South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. And in that collaboration, we're working on how to help, how to help that company make better therapeutics. And so, the company itself can't do everything in terms of the research and development, and the academic institutions can't necessarily do everything. But in terms, but with that partnership, we can each work on components of that problem and move that problem ahead farther. So in that case, that happens to be a project around developing therapeutics to treat human disease, specifically influenza. Yep.
And you talk a little bit about workforce development and how does that play in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So as we think about the landscape of modern bioscience and biotechnology, we're seeing some pretty major changes and innovations that are occurring. I'll talk a little bit about, let's just dive right into it. Let's talk a little bit about bioinformatics. We've seen over the last 10 years, 15 years maybe, a complete revolution in the ability to read DNA, read basically the genetic blueprint that underlies all living things, plants, animals, bacteria. And in that time, we've seen instruments that let us capture the information that's encoded there, and that information really defines a blueprint for a crop species, for a human, as well as messages that come from that blueprint and define, you know, how a cell should operate in that system, how the tissue is going to function. And so when we think about training and workforce development, this is just one example of an area where this is new technology, new information, new skill sets are needed to be able to use that information to tackle new bioscience and biotechnology problems. So the things we're doing with BioCenter, linking up researchers and having them work on these and enabling them to work on these sophisticated problems requires training in new skill sets in these areas. So this spans everything from students, undergraduate students, to graduate students, to faculty, learning new skill sets. And we recently held the BioCenter workshop on bioinformatics in May. And in this workshop, we brought in all sorts of folks, students, postdocs, folks in industry, and faculty. And the goal there was really, to give all of the attendees an experience with the state-of-the-art technologies for working with genetic sequences, with DNA, being able to understand what's in or capture data, understand what's in that data regarding the genetic code, and so they can apply it to their research problems. So that, I think, gives a little bit of a flavor of the kinds of things mm-hmm. that we're trying to do in terms of helping prepare students and help educate even current folks in the workforce with regard to new biotechnology and innovation around biotechnology.
And so talk a little bit about the impacts of genetics on agriculture and human and animal health.
Yeah. We're really in just a transformative time right now. If we look back to 2001 and the sequencing of the human genome, this was a massive undertaking. Billions of dollars, years of work went into that endeavor, and at the end of it, the end result was a series of letters, and that series of letters describes the genetic code for the human, and that it was a massive undertaking to be able to get that piece of information. And then it became the question of, okay, we have that information. Now what do we do with it? Okay. And at the same time, the technology and the methods for being able to read the genetic code of living things became so much more accessible and so much more cost effective. So now we're living in an era where we can effectively capture that same information in a couple of days at a cost of a couple of $1,000, $2,000 or so. So this is generating massive amounts of information, and it's completely changed the way we approach biological problems. Now we can sequence an entire organism's genome very quickly and efficiently. And we can then, we also have to be able to then deal with that huge volume of information that comes out of those kinds of experiments. And so that requires training and education and teams really to work on teasing apart that information and being able to better understand what that information means. And this technology is becoming more and more accessible as well. There's now a new sequencing facility that's just opened at South Dakota State University as part of BioCenter. And that sequencing facility is able to capture this information very readily. So Jose Gonzalez is leading that charge. Go ahead.
No, we just talked with Fabina Matthew about, you know, some fungus in soybeans and in sunflowers. And so then I'm wondering then how the genetics of the fungus and researching that then can help combat it and have healthier plants. Am I on the right track that this
Absolutely.
Is something that could all come through BioCenter?
Well, it's sort BioCenter of? And it's the institutions that are right. doing undertaking these or that have these capabilities. But you're absolutely right that this kind of technology, this kind of approach, is applicable to any kind of system. So you can sequence plants, you can sequence animals, bacteria, fungi, really any organism. The information that comes out is very similar, and depending upon how much is known about that organism, it may be more or less approachable in terms of the questions that you're trying to ask, say about a disease or about which crops grow better than another crop or about an aspect of human health. It really depends on the amount of information that you have going into that question and then the amount of the tools that you need to apply to be able to tease out how to make a better solution or to modify that organism. So one example that's a major thrust in BioCenter is a research project targeting soybeans. And so soybeans is a widely grown crop in South Dakota. It requires generally application of nitrogen fertilizer. But soybeans are unusual in that they have the ability to also fix atmospheric nitrogen and use that nitrogen as sort of a bioavailable fertilizer. One of the researchers at SDSU, Sen Subramanian, is leading a project to really try and understand the molecular mechanisms of how soybeans generate the tissue, or a nodule, that captures a bacterium and then helps that bacterium fix that atmospheric nitrogen and make that natural biofertilizer. And so in that project there, what BioCenter is doing is it's helping Sen and his team with sequencing informatics around understanding which genes are turned on when and how those genes are responsible for that tissue development in the soybean root. And also we're using we've put into place very high-end microscopy tools, imaging tools, that can look into that root and look at the cells that are in the root and then also look at how the molecules within those cells are relaying information. At the highest level, what BioCenter does is it brings together experts in microscopy, experts in informatics and sequencing, and rallies them around a key problem, such as this one, to be able to address that problem in a way that couldn't be done using conventional approaches.
And do you have more workshops coming up?
Yeah. So we had a very enthusiastic response to the workshop that we just held on bioinformatics. The workshop filled up within a day, and we had some very enthusiastic attendees at the end of it. And I think one of the questions I heard the most is, when are we going to do it again? And what other topics are we going to cover? So the plan, so we just held the bioinformatics workshop, specifically around next generation sequencing and being able to understand the genetic code and genetic instructions. We're planning two other workshops for the fall. One would be a repeat version of the bioinformatics workshop, West River, to make it a little more accessible for folks, West River. And then also another workshop focusing on high-end microscopy tools and how to use those tools to look into tissues and understand more about the molecular communication that's happening within those tissues.
Adam, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to keeping in touch.
Thank you very much, Kara.
Thank you.